The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
With the 35th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Andy Dalton, quarterback, TCU.
Andy Dalton, you heard it here first. I love you, man. I love you.
Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown. Remarkable.
Big toss. Dalton to his right end zone. Touchdown. A.J. Green.
Andy Dalton is going to set incredible passing records and be an MVP candidate. Said it all offseason, I am taking that victory lap.
Dalton picked off. Gilmore down the sideline. See you later.
The worst thing is when you have an itch and you can't wipe it.
All right, Andy Dalton is gone from Cincinnati. The Red Rifle, no mas. In the skyline city, whatever they call Cincinnati. This is the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. This is not an emergency podcast per se because it didn't get up with a siren, but we have a 2021 NFL draft discussion in the feed Friday morning with Tom Finelli, Chip Patterson, and Ryan Wilson. We could not reasonably go into the weekend without having John Breach on to discuss the release of Andy Dalton from the Cincinnati Bengals. So myself, Breach, and Sean Wagner McGuff here to talk about the Red Rifle. Breach, I'm curious, what was your first? So this happened at like 9:15 a.m. maybe something like 9:15 a.m. Eastern time, 8:15 a.m. Eastern time. You got a little baby, but you probably weren't wide awake and get the alert. What was your reaction?
Well, first, I want to apologize to the listeners that there was no emergency podcast. It wasn't possible because I was crying for six straight hours after this happened. I had to get all the tears out. I couldn't podcast through the tears. So we were recording this later in the day so I could get my emotions in check, to understand, to comprehend what just happened today. And to answer Brinson's question is actually fascinating how I heard about this. So I do have a baby daughter. She is 3 weeks old. And it was my turn to stay up with her last night just in case she was crying. And so
you can say her name. Her name is Dalton.
So,
it's fine.
So, yes, her name is Annabelle,
Andrea Dalton,
which is as close you can get to Andrew or Andy. So Annabelle kept me up for most of the night. My wife wakes up around 8 a.m., takes the baby. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a 2-hour nap because I only got about 3 hours of sleep. So I'm heading to take my 2-hour nap when I get the alert on my phone that Andy Dalton is gone, and I was too emotional to take a nap at that point. The nap was not happening. Instead, I immediately started working my way through the seven stages of grief. I definitely went through shock. No nap because I was shocked. You know, you go through denial. I can't believe Andy Dalton is finally being cut. How is this real? There was definitely some guilt, like we didn't do enough for Dalton. We didn't cheer hard enough. I don't know. And I don't know what the rest of the stages are, but right now I'm at the stage where I mix tequila shots with ginger beer and watch Andy Dalton highlights. So that is where I am right now.
Sean, I assume you had a similar reaction when Andy Dalton was released.
No, and look, I'm not going to do what I did on the show and turn it into a Jay Cutler podcast.
Don't mention his name.
No, but I understand what Breach is going through. We both, our favorite players is a unfairly maligned quarterback who is probably better than his reputation suggests and gets replaced by a very high pick in the draft in Breach. I just hope this goes
about that. Rivers.
But Rivers is better. And I think more like Rivers is in the Hall of Fame discussion. Dalton is not, you know, getting into the Hall of Fame discussion
not
whatsoever.
Yet. Not
and
yet.
Breach, that's true. Maybe when he goes on a 10-year run with Bill Belichick in New England. But Breach, I'm just hope for your sake, because I'm a good friend and not like Ryan, who spent the whole time dunking on you, that it goes better for you than it did for the Bears with their draft pick to replace Jay Cutler, because Lord knows I miss my favorite player, and I hope you don't miss Andy Dalton.
Hey, all right, well, let's talk about Andy Dalton. First, he's the leads the Bengals all time in passing touchdowns with 204. He was a three-time Pro Bowler. He had three fourth-quarter comebacks in 2017. He was in the MVP discussion for a hot minute in 2015, the year that Cam won it and Carson Palmer had a big season as well. He is the only quarterback, as Breach has noted, in NFL history to start a season 8-0 and 0-8. But most famously, perhaps, Andy Dalton has no playoff wins. I thought Breach, your feed was a tremendous honor to Andy Dalton today. Yes, Sean, go ahead.
You mentioned the 0-4, and look, again, I have sympathy for John Breach, but there's a reason he's going to be known by most people outside of Cincinnati for his lack of playoff success, because it wasn't like he played well in the playoffs and just had some bad luck. These were some, like, truly atrocious playoff performances, and as a, like, a neutral, that's how I remember him. I remember him as, like, the waking up on the Saturday to watch that, like, playoff game you're not that excited about, but it's playoff football you're going to watch, and, like, J.J. Watt, like, picking him off or batting him down. I don't even know.
J.J. Watt picked 60.
Okay, it was the jumping at the line of scrimmage, right, and he just catches it and runs. Like, that is my defining Andy Dalton memory. Four playoff games.
By the way, my defining Andy Dalton playoff memory, I wasn't going to not interrupt people. Come on, guys. Sitting, just to bring it full circle with Breach's, Breach's child, sitting in the hospital with my young son, Robbie, just days, hour, yeah, maybe 12. We left on that Sunday that the Chargers and the Bengals played in the wild card round. And I'm just holding Robbie, just giggling like loudly as the Chargers just annihilate the Bengals in the playoff game.
And the funny thing is that was his best playoff performance in his career. Four playoff games, 55% of his passes completed, averaged 5.5 yards per attempt, one touchdown in four games, six interceptions, and a 57.8 passer rating. The most points the Bengals scored in one of those games was 13, and they lost 19-13. Unfortunately, I think it's a little bit unfair that he's going to be remembered only for that, because he was a very good regular season quarterback, I thought, for large stretches of his career. But that's why he won't be remembered fondly by a lot of people, because of those playoff games.
Well, I'm glad Brinson mentioned that my Twitter feed was a nice tribute to Andy Dalton, because I have to defend him against meatheads like you guys. Look, one of the stats I threw out is that Andy Dalton never, in four playoff games, never threw a pass while the Bengals had the lead. He was perpetually playing from behind. So it's not like these were all his fault. You pin it on him. This was total team meltdowns in all four of these playoff games. And when I look at those four playoff games, the only one where I thought the Bengals should have won, and probably the most disappointing one that Andy Dalton started, because he did not start that Steelers game, was the Chargers game. Because let's rewind back to 2011 real quick. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but the Bengals went 4-12 in 2010. After the season, Carson Palmer said, F this team. I don't want to play for him. I would literally rather retire than make $20 million from the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Bengals went into that draft in 2011, drafted Andy Dalton in the second round. They still didn't know if Palmer was going to show up, if he was bluffing or what was going to happen. So Dalton didn't even know if he was going to play. Then he didn't get an offseason that year because there was a lockout. So you have your quarterback threatening to retire and Palmer, your quarterback who might play not getting an offseason. There was talk the Bengals might go 0-16. And then Andy Dalton led them to the playoffs, which was a huge shock in 2011. And you know, no one expected anything. They lost to the Texans. They should have lost to the Texans. They weren't a great team that year. And so, again, it was that Chargers game in the 2013 season that I thought they should have won. And if you look at what he did, I mentioned on the HQ show, I thought he was one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks that we've seen over the past 9 years. Look, there aren't many quarterbacks since 2011 that had 30,000 passing yards, 200 touchdown passes, 70 wins. You have to be at least good to keep the job that long. And the other guys in that list are Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, all huge names that you would expect to be on that list. And here we are, Dalton just over here. Probably most people thinking there should probably be an asterisk there. How is Andy Dalton on a list with these guys? He is one of only four quarterbacks since the merger in 1970 that has won at least 70 games in their first nine seasons that was not drafted in the first round. The other three guys are Brett Favre, Russell Wilson, and Tom Brady. So there's a lot. I understand the love-hate of Dalton. It is what it is. He didn't win any playoff games. That's going to be his legacy. But, man, he was above average for 9 years. And when you think about what the Bengals organization has been through, they're absolute trash in the 90s. Carson Palmer quit on the team. He was kind of like that spark and good person that the team needed when he came along in 2011.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of telling that – from 2011 to 2019 when Dalton was there, he only led the team in approximate value one time, which is like kind of shocking for a quarterback. And I mean, like a quarterback that went to the playoffs, you know, five times, like that's kind of shocking. And, you know, he's a top passer, of course, but, I think there is some merit to the idea that the Bengals were absolute dog crap under, for years and years and years, like up until Marvin Lewis took over in 2003. And even then, they only got to two playoff games with Carson Palmer. You know, it took Andy Dalton coming in before they had any success. And like, there were just, it's just perfectly Bengals that they had this run of bad luck in those playoff games, from the JJ Watt pick six to Andy Dalton, you know, tackling a guy on a pick, on an interception and breaking his thumb and being forced to play AJ McCarron in a playoff game, where Vontaze Burfict completely melts down against the Steelers in a game that the Bengals had already won. I mean, like the whole thing, was insane. I don't know. I just think that like Andy Dalton does get a bad rap. I think Breach is right about that. It just sucks that his best playoff moment was knocking out the Ravens and pushing the Bills.
I mean, and we talk about like Andy Dalton is a very good example of how much like where fit matters, because like if Andy Dalton had landed with a Kyle Shanahan type of coach, you feel like, you know, I think he could have done what Garoppolo did this past season, you know what I mean, and had that kind of playoff success and gone to a Super Bowl if he had landed in that kind of a fortunate position. And you know, he was in Cincinnati his entire career, and we'll see, maybe now he ends up in a better spot like New England, and then you see him have postseason success. But Breach was talking about legacy. It's very unfair to Dalton, but I almost think in some way Dalton's legacy will somehow be impacted by what happens with Joe Burrow. Because if Joe Burrow ends up being a stud and leads them to the playoffs and wins games, no one's going to look back that fondly on the Andy Dalton era, because they will just think about Joe Burrow. But if Joe Burrow flops, then fans are going to see like, oh, we should have appreciated Andy Dalton for what we had when we had him. And like, again, not to make it about the Bears, but like, I think that's something that's happened with the Bears, where it's like fans did not like Jay Cutler, and then they saw Mike Glennon and Mr. Trubisky, and a lot of them are like, oh, you know what? We kind of miss having that reliable guy. So it's not fair to Dalton, but in some ways, I do think his legacy is directly tied to whatever happens with Joe Burrow.
All right. Anything else you want to reminisce on for Andy Dalton, Breach?
I will say that there is, I think a lot of people point to his 2015 season and said it's been a while since he's been good, but I think those people didn't watch him in 2018. The Bengals started 4-1 that year. They were in first place 5 weeks into the season. They were 5-3 at the midway point, and Dalton also got injured that season. He only played 11 games, so it has been a lot more recent that he was a good quarterback than I think most people give him credit for, which is why I do think he could be a difference maker potentially in New England. I know we're going to talk landing spots here in a second. So I don't think he's washed up. I do think some people tended to believe that because they keep pointing to 2015 as it's been 5 years since he's been good, but it's been more recent than that.
It is interesting too that they I said they were going to release him. There was a report. It's like the Bengals may not let Andy Dalton go. It's like, nah, look, even if you can't trade him, you have to release him after you draft Joe Burrow. Andy Dalton is, you know, one of the all time great quarterbacks in franchise history. It just happens to be not that great of a historical database of Bengals quarterbacks. Other Boomer Esiason, Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton could be worse. Akili Smith, right?
Yeah, Akili Smith. Ha 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 ha.
No, but I mean, it would be unfair to Andy Dalton and unfair to Joe Burrow to keep Andy Dalton around. $17.7 million in the final year of his deal, but with no guaranteed money. So there's no salary cap hit. So you don't want to pay Andy Dalton $17 million to be a awkward mentor to Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and I'll say that because Tom Pelissero from NFL Media reported that Andy Dalton actually asked for his release, which does tell you something. Because as you said, there was no guaranteed money. The Bengals could have sat on him through the offseason. Because if you would have asked me in January, I would have said the Bengals are trading him or cutting him 100%. There's no way he's staying on this team. But by the time we get through 40 days of quarantine, it's April 15th, there hasn't been any offseason activities. Then you start to think, you know what, maybe there's a 10 or 15% chance they keep him, because you don't know when Joe Burrow is going to be on the field. You don't know when he's going to be able to run this offense. You don't know when he's going to understand it. You don't know how much of training camp there's going to be. So there would be, you could make the argument for keeping a veteran around. And I think maybe Dalton felt the Bengals possibly were thinking, oh, let's keep him just in case training camp gets cut short or something. So it makes sense that he just said, hey, let's just cut ties so I can go out and find a team to play for.
Yeah. Look, again, he's one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history. They owed him to let him go. If you're going to draft Joe Burrow one overall and you're going to play him, in my opinion, they owed it to him. A shrewder organization might decide to keep Andy Dalton around, but the Bengals.
A shrewder organization would have traded him in October when he had some trade value.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A shrewd organization would get something for Andy Dalton. Maybe a shrewd organization like the New England Patriots, Sean, can pick him up without having to lose any sort of compensatory pick value. It's after the deadline, and the Patriots are one of the two favorites, according to William Hill. The Jaguars 2-1 to land Andy Dalton. Patriots 3-1. Seahawks +450. Broncos 7-1, Cowboys 9-1, Cardinals 10-1, Rams 12-1, Steelers 15-1, and Packers 20-1. I feel like there's some value in a couple of these teams. Breach also mentioned on our show the Tennessee Titans. You can maybe go down and plop some cash down. You like the Patriots though, Sean, right?
Yeah, no, it better happen because I feel like I've been saying this and like we all have been saying this since even before Tom Brady left. We were already talking about this as if Tom Brady were to leave. We don't know if he was going to do it, but if he were to leave, Dalton would make the most sense as a cheap short-term fill-in. I still think it makes sense. I thought they should have traded for him because I was worried another team was going to pick him up as their starter. That did not happen, so far that decision looks good. And then it became very clear when no team was looking for a starting quarterback. You know, we just had Jameis Winston sign for $1 million as a backup, that the Patriots were going to see what would happen in the draft. And they did not get a quarterback in the draft. They passed, in fact, twice on a quarterback. They had a chance to take Jordan Love there in the first round. They traded out. And, you know, they already got an extra pick there, so they could have, what did they pick at, 37 early in the second round. They definitely had a chance to take Jalen Hurts if they wanted him, did not want him there. So I have a really hard time to believe they're rolling into the season with Stidham and Hoyer. Maybe I'm wrong. The Patriots know more about Stidham than we know, but it just seems like it makes too much sense. He's not going to cost that much, and he would immediately be the best quarterback on that roster.
Yeah, I think one of the things, too, when you look at Andy Dalton versus Cam Newton, and they're both veterans of the 2011 draft class, Cam first overall, Andy Dalton went 35th. Like, I am not in on Cam as a egotistical pain in the rear, that theme. Like, I think Cam's a really good player, but I also think that let's say you're a team like the Redskins with Dwayne Haskins or a team like the Patriots with, you know, Jared Stidham, and you want to give your young quarterback a chance to win the job and see how he can do. I think that Andy Dalton is such a nice guy and like a genuinely good person and a team player. And I think that Cam is not those things, but Andy Dalton is also not divisive like Cam. He's not a lightning rod for attention and controversy and all that. So I think it is much easier to bring Andy Dalton in with the idea of him being the veteran who loses the job, or maybe wins, like he's a lot easier to bring in into a quarterback battle without putting the like a crushing weight of media focus and fan focus on your younger quarterback the way that Cam Newton might be. Does that make sense, Breach?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that Dalton has going for him is that he's healthy. You know, teams are scared off by Cam Newton right now because they can't bring him in and check out his health. And yeah, you know, Cam Newton comes with, I don't want to say more baggage, but exactly what you just said, Brinson. And that's kind of what I was looking at these odds. And for people who don't, were wondering why Jacksonville is at the top, it's because their offense coordinator is Jay Gruden. And that was Andy Dalton's offense coordinator for the first 3 years of his career. So it's a system he would already understand. Sean mentioned the Patriots. And I think a good example of what Brinson's saying is the Cowboys at +900. I don't think the Cowboys would bring in – I don't think Cooper Rush is the answer at backup quarterback. I don't think they would bring in Cam Newton because that's threatening to Dak Prescott. That is somebody – I don't think Dak Prescott would be happy with that. But if the Cowboys went out and signed Andy Dalton, I think Dak Prescott is fine with that. He says, all right, we want to be a Super Bowl team. We need to have a quality backup, and I'm fine with Andy Dalton being my backup. I don't think he's fine with Cam Newton being his backup. And as you mentioned, Brenton, the one team I think is very interesting that's not even listed on these odds is the Tennessee Titans. You know, with Mariota in Vegas now, Tannehill is the starting quarterback. They don't really have a backup. And Tannehill's dealt with some injury issues over the past few years. He hasn't made it through an entire season since 2015. He missed 24 games combined from 2016 to 2018, and that includes missing the entire 2017 season. He didn't play all of last season. Sure, that was because he came off the bench, but who knows if he's able to make it through an entire season, because we haven't seen him do it in 5 years. So if I'm the Titans, I'm at least a little concerned about that, and I'm definitely calling Andy Dalton. I think the Rams would be interesting also with Sean McVay, and I think Dalton would actually be a good fit in his offense.
Mm. I think the Broncos would make a lot of sense too. I don't think you mentioned them, did you?
Nah.
Denver at 7-1. I agree on the Rams at 12-1. I think that's a pretty good value, and like they might be at least a little worried about Jared Goff and his cost, and maybe you could ditch Jared Goff and roll with a cheap Andy Dalton as your veteran quarterback. But the Broncos, to me, like I know they're all in on Drew Lock, but Andy Dalton's the perfect guy to bring in to put behind Drew Lock. Like, hey, Andy, if Drew struggles or if Drew gets hurt, you're our guy, and we got tons of weapons, a pretty good group of running backs, a bunch of, a decent offensive line. Like, I think Denver could make a lot of sense for Andy Dalton as well.
Two more teams. I'll just say real quick, the Vikings, only because Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. He's very familiar with Andy Dalton. They went to the playoffs together multiple times. He knows what Dalton can do. And he's actually, when people think of Kirk Cousins, you think of like a slightly rich man's Andy Dalton, where it's not like they have the exact same skill set, but I think Andy Dalton could seamlessly fill in there if Cousins were to get hurt. And then the Steelers. I know we were mentioning them with Jameis Winston, but you need to upgrade a backup quarterback as last year proved. So maybe Dalton, he doesn't seem like a guy who wants to get revenge on people, but maybe he wants revenge on the Bengals, and he goes and signs with the Steelers so that the Steelers actually have an adequate backup quarterback.
Would that break your heart?
You know what? Ben Roethlisberger went to Miami of Ohio. I went to Miami of Ohio. I'm immune to it now, Sean. Okay. I'm desensitized. So
you partied with Big Ben in college.
Big Ben had a fun college time, I will tell you that.
The Steelers at 15. I mean, like, if I'm Andy Dalton, I'd at least think about going to Pittsburgh. Like, Big Ben might not be healthy, and if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm at least thinking about signing Andy Dalton. Like, I just think Dalton gives you such a high floor as a backup. So is he? What is he? He's not being paid. He's not getting anything from the Bengals, obviously. So he's going to need some sort of decent. Like, he's not taking a $1.1 million contract from Jameis, or is he getting $17 million? No, he's not getting.
He gets not. He had nothing left guaranteed, so no dead cap for the Bengals. Dalton has $0 for 2020 lined up right now. I don't think he's taking $1.1 million. I think Dalton would sign somewhere between $5 to $7 million, maybe $4 or $3 if there's incentives that can get it up. If he has to be the starting quarterback, but he's Jameis Winston,
or maybe a Nick Foles $11 million for 2 year deal, where it's like, but like most of it is up front and they can get out of it after 1 year, like he did with the Eagles. I mean, that's you almost wonder, like, if you're Howie Roseman in the Eagles, should you have gone in a different direction in the second round than Jalen Hurts? And taken and just picked up Andy Dalton when he was released, or even the Packers. Like, don't draft Jordan Love in the first, take a wide receiver, and then sign Andy Dalton. Why not? Andy Dalton would be a good fit in that offense in Green Bay.
Yeah, and the Rams, real quick, they brought in Blake Bortles. So McVay's not afraid to bring in like a cast-off quarterback who just got dumped by his team. And their backup, do you guys even know who their backup is right now?
The Rams?
Yeah.
Is it not Blake Bortles?
If you can't think of their backup within 5 seconds, that means they're an Andy Dalton landing spot. So it's John Wolford. I just Googled it. I couldn't think of it either.
I mean, I really think that any team that is a contender would has enough cap space should sign Andy Dalton, because he is such a great value play. And we just watched a team, Breach, you just mentioned the Titans. They don't go on that run unless they make that really smart trade that was cheap for Ryan Tannehill. At the time, they didn't know if he was going to play, but it was a great insurance policy. So, like, even, like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if Tom Brady were to get hurt and miss, like, 4 games, he would be a great guy to fill in, and he'd be better than Blaine Gabbert. They don't have much cap space, though, which would be the problem.
All right. That's it for the Andy Dalton Show, Breach. Sorry for your loss, but it's better to have loved and lost 4 playoff games.
I am going to go drown it. Drown it in tequila shots and ginger beer, blackout, and forget the fact that you just spent 30 minutes making fun of the fact that Andy Dalton's never won a playoff game.
In reality, he's going to go change some diapers and take a nap.
Yeah, change some diapers, take a nap, and stare at your dinner. Look, the Bengals are better off on the other side of this. But by the way, well, no, I'll read it on another podcast. Let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, as always. Talk to you guys soon.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.